Shalom, what peace means in the Bible, beyond inner calm. Peace can sound like a quiet room, a settled feeling, or simply the end of an argument. Those are real goods, but the Bible's vision is larger. The Hebrew word shalom reaches into relationships, bodies, communities, work, worship, justice, and life with God. It can describe safety after danger, health after sickness, reconciliation after hostility, or the ordinary well-being of a person whose life is not coming apart. That breadth makes shalom both beautiful and easy to flatten into a slogan. It is sometimes reduced to inner calm. At other times, it is made to mean every form of flourishing we can imagine, whether or not a passage supports that claim. A faithful word study should do something more careful. Listen to the word in its varied biblical settings. Let each context guide the meaning, and then ask how the whole scriptural witness directs Christians toward the peace God gives and the peace God calls us to pursue. What does shalom mean in the Bible? Shalom is a Hebrew noun commonly translated peace. Its biblical range also includes completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, friendship, and well-being. The Blue Letter Bible lexical entry for shalom gathers these senses and shows that English translations use several different words because no single gloss fits every occurrence. That is important. A Hebrew word does not carry its entire dictionary entry into every verse. Context decides which part of the range is active. In Genesis 43:27-28, Joseph asks about his father's welfare, and the brothers answer that he is well. The repeated Hebrew idea is shalom. The question is not whether Jacob feels serene, it is whether he is alive and well. In 1 Samuel 25:6, a greeting of peace extends to a household and all it possesses. Here, shalom functions as a wish for comprehensive well-being. In Psalm 85:10, peace appears beside steadfast love, faithfulness, and righteousness. The picture is relational and communal, not merely emotional. In Jeremiah 29:7, the exiles must seek the shalom of the city where they live, because their own welfare is bound up with its welfare. So what does shalom mean in the Bible? The safest, concise answer is peace, as things being well, sound, and rightly related. Sometimes that means the absence of war. Sometimes it means health, safety, friendship, or prosperity. Often it points toward a fuller wholeness in which life can flourish under God's faithful care. Is wholeness the literal meaning of shalom? Wholeness is a helpful summary, but it should not become a magic replacement word. If Joseph asks whether his father has shalom, is he whole? Sounds unnatural. Is he well? Communicates the sense. If a prophet condemns people for announcing peace when danger remains, peace carries a public and political force. If a worshiper receives a blessing of peace, well-being before God is in view. The point of studying Hebrew is not to discover a secret definition hidden from ordinary readers. It is to notice the connections an English translation may distribute across several words. Shalom joins peace with well-being more closely than modern usage often does, while still allowing each passage to speak in its own voice. Shalom is more than the absence of conflict. The common statement that biblical peace is not only the absence of conflict is well grounded, as long as we do not imply that ending violence is unimportant. The Bible Project overview of shalom emphasizes both dimensions. Biblical peace includes the ending of hostility and the presence of restored well-being. This matters because a ceasefire and reconciliation are not identical. Silence can follow an argument because one person has been intimidated. A family can preserve appearances while refusing truth. A congregation can avoid disagreement by excluding wounded voices. None of these is mature shalom. Biblical peace does not ask us to call concealed harm harmony. Psalm 85:10 places peace alongside righteousness. Jeremiah 6:14 criticizes leaders who announce peace superficially when the people's wound has not been healed. Jeremiah 29:7 asks displaced people to seek a city's welfare through patient, constructive presence. Together, these passages show that shalom has moral substance. It includes relationships repaired truthfully and social life ordered toward genuine good. Christians differ over the best public policies, the church's political role, and how particular conflicts should be addressed. Those disagreements should be named rather than hidden behind the word shalom. Yet across traditions, Scripture will not let peace become either partisan triumph or passive avoidance. The Bible ties peace to truth, righteousness, neighbor love, and the repair of what harms life. The blessing of peace begins with God's face turned toward us. Numbers 6:24-26 ends the priestly blessing with God giving peace. The order is revealing. The Lord blesses and keeps, shines upon the people with grace, turns toward them, and grants shalom. Peace is not first an achievement the worshiper produces. It is a gift that flows from God's attentive presence. This does not promise a life without grief. Israel received the blessing while still living as a vulnerable people. The Psalms speak of peace while also teaching lament. Biblical peace can therefore coexist with tears, unresolved circumstances, and the need to cry out for justice. Lament tells the truth about what is not yet whole. Shalom names the good for which lament hopes. This protects hurting readers from a cruel conclusion. Anxiety, sorrow, illness, or conflict do not prove that a person has failed spiritually. God's peace is not a score assigned to the emotionally composed. It is grace for people who need keeping, mercy, and the light of God's face. Isaiah's Prince of Peace rules through justice. Isaiah 9:6-7 names the promised Davidic ruler the Prince of Peace and immediately connects the endurance of his reign with justice and righteousness. In its historical setting, the poem addresses people marked by oppression and war. Peace is not sentimental background music. It is the end of the yoke, the shattered weapon, and the establishment of right rule. An Old Testament commentary from Luther Seminary notes that the passage's shalom includes wholeness, health, and well-being, and that the ruler's purpose is the people's flourishing through righteous governance rather than conquest. Christians read this promise in light of Jesus, while Jewish readers understand Isaiah within Israel's own scriptural and historical hopes. Naming that difference honors the text's Jewish setting and avoids pretending that every reader approaches it through the same theological commitments. For Christian discipleship, Isaiah challenges any peace built on domination. Jesus is confessed as Prince of Peace not because he makes evil harmless, but because his reign exposes evil, reconciles enemies, and creates a people learning another way of life. The kingdom's peace is inseparable from the kingdom's justice. How Jesus gives peace, not as the world gives. The New Testament is written in Greek, so John 14:27 uses Irene, not the Hebrew noun shalom. Yet the Greek scriptures and Jewish patterns of speech carry the Hebrew vision of peace into the New Testament. A Luther Seminary commentary on John 14:23-29 explains that Jesus' peace belongs to this holistic shalom horizon. The setting keeps the promise honest. Jesus speaks before his arrest, not after every threat has disappeared. His disciples are confused, and loss is coming. The peace he gives is therefore not control over circumstances. It is life held in communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when fear has real reasons to speak. Romans 5:1 describes peace with God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 goes further and says that Christ is our peace, speaking in a passage about formerly divided peoples being brought near. Christian peace is both vertical and horizontal. Reconciliation with God creates a community summoned out of hostility. The two cannot be separated safely. Peace with God should not become an excuse to ignore a neighbor's wound. Social repair should not be reduced to human technique without repentance, grace, and the transforming work of God. The New Testament holds together the gift we receive and the way of life that gift creates. The linked Romans 5 and John 14 passages are useful to read side by side. Peace is grounded in Christ and given amid suffering, hope, and the promised presence of the Spirit. What it means to seek shalom today. Biblical peace is God's gift, but it is also a calling. Matthew 5:9 blesses peacemakers, not merely peace admirers. Romans 12:18 gives a realistic command: as far as it depends on us, live peaceably with all. That wording recognizes limits. We cannot manufacture another person's repentance, guarantee safety, or reconcile a relationship alone. Tell the truth about what is broken. Ask where apparent calm is hiding fear, resentment, exploitation, or grief. Do this first with humility about your own part. Truth-telling should serve repair, not humiliation. Pursue the other person's real good. Jeremiah 29:7 asks exiles to seek the welfare of a city that is not their true home. Seeking shalom means more than winning. It asks what helps neighbors live safely and truthfully, including neighbors with whom we disagree. Make repair concrete. An apology, repayment, boundary, shared meal, medical appointment, fair policy, or patient conversation may be a small act of peace. Not every act will feel spiritual. Wholeness often arrives through faithful particulars. Refuse counterfeit reconciliation. Forgiveness, reconciliation, and restored trust are related but not identical. Forgiveness can begin without giving an unsafe person immediate access. Reconciliation requires truth and participation from more than one side. Trust is rebuilt through demonstrated faithfulness. Seeking peace never requires remaining in danger or concealing abuse. Receive peace before trying to perform it. Return to Numbers 6:24-26 and John 14:27. Peacemaking that is fueled only by urgency becomes controlling. Christian peacemakers act from the mercy of God, admit their limits, pray for wisdom, and receive help from the community. A short prayer for shalom. God of peace, turn your face toward what is anxious, divided, wounded, and unfinished in us. Give us the peace we cannot manufacture. Make us truthful without cruelty, courageous without domination, and patient without passivity. Show us the next repair that belongs to us, and free us from pretending we can control what belongs to you or to another person. Through Christ, form us into people who receive your peace and make peace in the places you have given us to love. Amen. The Bible's peace is a life being made whole. So, what does shalom mean in the Bible? It most commonly names peace and well-being. Life safe, sound, and rightly related. Its exact sense changes with the passage, but its biblical horizon is richer than private calm. Shalom can describe a healthy person, a reconciled relationship, a just community, freedom from war, or the covenant gift of God's presence. The story of Scripture does not invite us to pretend that wholeness has already arrived. It teaches us to lament what is broken, receive the peace God gives in Christ, and participate in truthful repair. Biblical peace is not quiet at any cost. It is the good order of life under God, a gift to welcome, a promise to hope for, and a way to practice with our neighbors today. This article was written and narrated by Ezra, Feasen's editorial study assistant. Ezra is an AI.